Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We're Baltimore Positive. We're doing football around here better than anybody. Ask around. The internet will tell you that. The AI gods will tell you that. Doing a lot in the AI space. I had a great conversation with Damian O'Doherty 2 weeks ago. Also, Bill Cole and Todd Schuller joined me at Pizza John's as part of the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I have Raven scratch-offs. It's been a lucky batch. I gave two lucky winners on the show. I scanned at Coco's last week with Greg Abel, and he and I had we did a lot of beat-em-up baseball last week. So this week, you're going to hear lots and lots of conversation about challenging the Baltimore Orioles, challenging their ownership, challenging Mike Elias and Katie Griggs and David Rubenstein. But in the meantime, we got a football team that's almost in first. It just feels like they're in first place, but they feel sub 500. But it's kind of weird, you know. Kind of reminds me of those years when the New Orleans Saints would win the division at 7-9 or whatever. But I think the Ravens are going to be better than that. Rounds up better than that, certainly with the next couple of weeks and beatable opponents. We've talked about the Bengals, we've talked about the Steelers, and where all of that is. And certainly for. This is not the best version of the Ravens we've seen, Luke Jones, but good enough to win in Minnesota on Sunday. And I think good enough for you and I, despite I'm reading the AI here about all the negative stuff we say about the Ravens, consistently challenging them and a complicated relationship with Chad Steele and the Ravens and all that. You know, you always say call a spade. I call it the way I see it or tell it like it is, the coach would say back in the day. When they were 1-5, I was the one still saying they're probably going to make the playoffs. Now they can't stub their toe. And these kinds of games, and we saw Buffalo stub their toe over the weekend, they don't have that scar tissue room, to quote Kyle Hamilton. But I am a believer that they are the best team in this division, and they're gonna have that opportunity to go prove it. I am a believer that they're rounding more into the shape that we thought they were in, let's say, June, where we thought they can look like a team that's going to win three in a row or go on the road 3 games in a row and win in November because they're built that way and they're healthy. So, I mean, I don't want to turn this one into the negative one because we did such positive in our first segment, but all of the thumbs are pointing up. But I do look at it and say, it's still not great. And I think Harbaugh would say it's not as good as it's going to be, and I'll hear all that, but I am trying to figure out where the ceiling is. And you mentioned Buchanan and a couple of the younger players, where the O-line, where the D-line is now that they have a semblance of a pass rush. I do look at them and say pre-trade deadline, certainly pre-Alohi Gilman, and I know he got sort of beaten up a little bit on Sunday, but they're a better football team, obviously, when Lamar's playing than when Cooper Rush is in there. Like, that was a disaster. But they look capable of winning games in January, certainly against Denver and Indianapolis and New England, the teams that I'm not completely sold on as being inhospitable for Lamar Jackson to get off the bus in January and win a football game with Derrick Henry.
Well, I think some of what you said is TBD. I think the Ravens, look, even their harshest critics, I think, would admit that they were better than how they looked roughly a month ago, right? That they had to be better than they were. I mean, go back and look at that Houston game. I mean, guys that were playing, I mean, they had Ruben Lowry starting who was then waived a few days after that, right? I mean, it speaks to where they were from an injury and from a health standpoint. So they were always going to be better. I'm not ready to crown them as being back just because they've won three in a row. That said, do I think they're a good football team? Yeah, I think they're a good football team. I think they have some very clear deficiencies. I would push back a little bit on the assumption that they've found some semblance of a pass rush. They had an okay, their pressure rate was better on Sunday. I mean, how many sacks did they have, right? I mean, we're still not talking about a very formidable pass rush here. And that's something that I'm going to continue to have concerns about, especially when you are trying to project out going up against the better quarterbacks in the AFC. In terms of what you said about, Indianapolis, New England, and Denver, I don't know. I mean, because that's making an assumption that those teams can't continue to get better, right? I mean, New, to your point, and you saw talked about this a lot in the previous segment. That New England team, I mean, beat the Bucs. The Bucs were regarded as one of the better teams in the NFC. I mean, maybe not over the last couple of weeks, but think about how they were perceived a month ago. So it's a moving target, right? Just like we were talking about how the Ravens, how can they get better? They've gotten better over the last 3 weeks, but they're still having issues running the ball, especially early in the game. They're still having issues with first down efficiency that's leading to second and long and third and medium range and third and long range compared to third and short. That's not ideal. I mean, you mentioned Derrick Henry. They haven't been very good when Derrick Henry runs the football, and I'm not blaming Derrick Henry specifically for that. I think that's a multi-pronged explanation that begins with the offensive line, but they've got to figure that out. They've got to be better inside the red zone. They're still not nearly what they need to be in terms of short yardage and goal to go, right? And we've seen that all season, and that's continued even with Lamar being back on the field. So that's a little disconcerting. So they have their issues. We've talked about their defensive line and their pass rush, and we'll continue to talk about that. But acknowledging those issues in the same way that Buffalo's talking about their lack of playmakers at the wide receiver position, or Kansas City's talking about whatever issues plague them,
Well, it's
right?
always
That
been the offensive line there, right? I
I
mean,
mean, it was
Buffalo, they
all
get rid of Stephon Diggs, and now they don't have anybody to catch the ball. Like,
sure.
so there's a little bit
Kansas City
of.
running back's been talked about. I mean, there was talk about whether they would acquire a running back. I mean, one thing that I know I wrote about this, I don't know if you and I talked about it as far as the trade deadline residue. How many deals did Kansas City make at the trade deadline? How many deals did Buffalo make at the trade deadline? You know what I mean? Like, they didn't get better. So that's not to say that the Ravens should be doing cartwheels because they got Draymond Jones, who I think is a solid player, but I don't think he transforms their pass rush into anything that teams are going to fear. But I think he can help. But it speaks to the challenge of trying to do it at the trade deadline, right? I mean, you don't want to overpay. There's only so many players that are out there. In some cases, you have teams that, and I think this is a dinosaur way of thinking a lot of times, but teams that don't want to deal a player within the division, even if that ends up being the best trade offer that you get. But my point is, all these teams have question marks. And if you're the Ravens, that doesn't default the Ravens to the front of the line, but it doesn't mean they can't get closer to the front of the line as the year goes on. And in their case, look, are they going to be the number one seed? Of course not, right? I mean, you'd have to have multiple teams collapse, and the Ravens would have to run the table here to be the number one seed. I'm not betting on that, but I do look at the state of the division, and I look at the rest of the conference, and I don't see any perfect teams. I don't see any teams that look completely elite at this point in time. So if you're John Harbaugh and the Ravens, just keep getting better. Just, try to find more consistency with your red zone play calling, with what you're doing on first down. Having looked, as you and I were kind of, in between segments, and I was looking at this where, I look at their first down play calling, and so many people have, especially early in the year, give the ball to Derrick Henry, feed Derrick Henry, feed Derrick Henry. Well, they're doing that a lot, and it's putting them in second and long quite a bit. So that's not to say that I am at all suggesting don't give the ball to Derrick Henry, but it might need to be that you change tendencies and you come out throwing on first down a little bit more. And I know that sounds scary to traditional thinking because, well, if you throw an incomplete on first down, then it's second and long. Well, if you get stuffed on first down, it's second and long anyway. So you kind of have to look at what's working. So there's definitely some of that needs to be at work. I'd like to see Keaton Mitchell involved a little more. I'll continue to go back to the idea of trying to run from being a little more spread out with formations and maybe lighter personnel on the field. And that gets teams out of heavier boxes where you're talking about eight guys being at the line of scrimmage or close to the line of scrimmage. So it's not just one thing. It's not just one simplistic answer. I'm not going to sit here and try to make football, that's so simplistic when it's oftentimes way more complicated than fans or media want it to be. But these are things they have to get better with. There's no question about that. And, on Sunday, as much as it was a nice win and one to feel good about, and that's absolutely true. It also was a game where they had to kick short field goals. They had to kick field goals inside the red zone, and you can get away with that when you're playing JJ McCarthy or maybe Gabriel in Cleveland on Sunday or Justin Fields, but you know that's not going to play when you're playing teams that have more formidable offenses and more formidable quarterbacks. So they've got to keep searching for those answers. And that's not to say they won't be able to discover them, but before we even start thinking about January, because it's still so far away. I mean, we're still 2 months out until the start of the playoffs. These are the types of things that they have to find. Not that they're going to find all the answers, but you want to try to find as many answers as you can. And yeah, it's tough because I don't love this offensive line. And I think it's quite evident at this point in time that the coaching staff doesn't love the depth on this offensive line because we haven't seen them shuffle the lineup. Do we see Emory Jones at some point? Maybe, but not necessarily holding my breath for that. It is a case of now, past the trade deadline, your personnel is the personnel that you have the rest of the way, right? Assuming you don't have injuries. So now it's a matter of trying to find a few more answers, continuing to try to get better. I have really liked, as much as I haven't liked how the offense has looked in the first half these last couple of weeks, I have liked how they've come out in the third quarter, and we saw it once again. You saw them come out throwing a little bit more in that third quarter, and it worked out better than it was working in the first half. So doesn't mean you abandon the run entirely in early down situations, but you do have to look at it and say, maybe we do need to change tendency a little more and throw on first down and set up Derrick Henry on second and three and then run the ball in that situation. That's actually the more analytical way of thinking about offense in the National Football League. But you have to do what is best for your football team. And this is an offensive line that right now hasn't been able to run the ball as consistently as you'd like. It's had its moments, but still not what you'd like it to be. On a down by down consistent basis. And we also know that what their pass protection when you want to stay out of the most obvious third and long situations, which is true for anybody. That's not a knock on the Ravens. That's just a general statement about offense in the NFL. No one wants to be in third and long. Patrick Mahomes would tell you you're crazy if you think he likes being in third and long, but you have an offensive line that pass protection still leaves a lot to be desired. And the Vikings blitzed the daylights out of Lamar, as many of us anticipated they probably would. And Lamar, to his credit, did a great job of taking care of the ball, only took one sack, threw the ball away a few times,
And that's
got
really saying something
escaped.
with the offensive line being what it is,
That's what I mean,
that
right?
the there's a level of efficiency of blitz and blitz and blitz, and which was the Flores prescription that sort of rocked their world a couple of years ago and made them go back into the laboratory and say, we better get a left hook. We better figure something else out. We better get a new punch. We better get something else. I think the something else for this team continues to be, and I keep going back to this, Lamar's still their best option on any given play ever. And more of that, or the threat of that, or the reality of that. And when's the last time Lamar broke an ankle and went 38 yards on a run and did the Trail of Tears for leaving three guys in their wake? Did I see Flowers? Did somebody did that in the game where there were three defenders that couldn't bring him down? Maybe it was Flowers, somebody down the left side. I saw it. I'm like, how many guys missed that guy? And I also saw that with the Ravens getting left in the lurch early in the game too, with a couple of guys. Marlon Humphrey missed a tackle that
The
created
nailer
something.
play early on, right? I
Right,
mean, they
exactly.
missed. Yeah.
So I mean, you remember those kinds of plays. Lamar made memorable running plays that made him Lamar. I'd like to see that again at some point because that's certainly without the threat of that, they are more pedestrian and they don't run the ball as well and they don't pass block as well and the line isn't as good. Now, I'll give you all the skill position players. I'll give you Lamar's as fast as he's ever been, but I know what it's like to get a little older. And half a step to him is a lot of step when you're the fastest guy on earth and you're just not anymore. Now you're just a fast guy. And the Keaton Mitchell thing was interesting as well because speed, whether it's Flowers, whether it's Mitchell, what the that's it feels to me like they can tackle Derrick Henry. And when he doesn't get 6 yards and space between you and him to run you over or stiff arm you, and we saw a little bit of that too. But I don't see enough of all of it. I know it's in there. And I know it's in there because you and I spent 8 months of the offseason saying Super Bowl, Super Bowl. Ah! Now we're 4-5, and I'm not saying they're going to the Super Bowl, but they're going to the playoffs. I mean, I'll say that. I mean, they're 4-5. I probably would have said that when they were 1-5. I said they'd be 7-7. I figured some of these other teams would trip up. I figured Pittsburgh wasn't as good as maybe we thought they were. Really, I like the Ravens a lot more. Just based on how much I don't like the rest of this mess. And I think the beginning of that was, well, if you get Kansas City and Buffalo and make them ordinary, and you look at the Colts and the Broncos and the Patriots as being upstart or soft schedule double-digit wins while the rest of the big boys slug it out and they're going to get to 10 or 11, and those other teams are going to get to 12 or 13 based on playing Jacksonville too much or Tennessee too much or whatever it would be. I'm a believer that this is a playoff team, and I'm a believer that they're going to get better. Mostly. I'm not a believer in Ronnie Stanley or Marlon Humphrey. Roquan, you can speak to me about, but the guys that looked old and fat and tired and beaten up and like all that the first 6 weeks that got him into trouble that are all making $20+ million. No offense, guys. You're making $20 million a year, right? Like all of you. They have to be great, or someone else has to step up and be great in their stead. And I don't think that's anybody on the offensive line. I don't think that's Noteboom. I don't think that they're McCary's coming back in, or they're going to buy Bryant McKinney for the stretch run. Like, if this team's going to be what we think it's going to be, Marlon Humphrey has to be better. Ronnie Stanley has to be completely physically healthy and a plus player. And the Roquan Buchanan thing defensively, I'll give you some oxygen on that because I know you love talking about that. But the aged players here, the part where you look fat and old, and Mark Andrews looks like he's not so good, or Hopkins looks like he can't do it anymore. I don't feel like I believe any of that. I just need to see it for the next 12 weeks. I need to see all of them look like they're still in somewhat of the prime of their career and not broken down and just getting there because they were really important guys, all of them.
It's interesting to hear you say you're not a believer in Ronnie Stanley. Then I mean, if he can't do it, then yeah, I don't like their chances in January whatsoever. Reason why I bring that up, and I, because I just wanted to note that, but an interesting development that didn't play out because there wasn't an injury on Sunday, but Noteboom was a healthy scratch on Sunday.
Yeah, I
They
saw that.
Carson Vincent, the fifth round rookie, from an HBCU, and nice story, but certainly someone who has a long way to go, at least was perceived that way in training camp. He was the active third tackle.
Is
So,
he better in pass blocking or perceived as being? Because here's my
who,
thought.
Vincent?
Yes, I yeah. Well, here's where who knows,
I don't
right?
know. I don't really
Right.
know if
But
he's good in
here's
anything at
where
this
I
point in
am.
time, to be
I
blunt.
am. We're playing on that garbage turf out in Minnesota where every time, I mean, you saw if Derrick Henry couldn't get his cleats in the ground, right? Like, and slid like an ice skater with a sea of rubber flying up in the air, which, not cancer causing or anything like that. I thought they would think in that case, if we lose Ronnie Stanley, if Ronnie can't go, if Ronnie gets hurt, if Ron, whatever, we're going to be losing and we're going to need pass protect. We're going to need somebody that backpedals if we're hurt. Because if we're hurt, we might be behind. And if we're behind, we're going to be passing. And if we're passing, we don't want that guy. And I don't know. You tell me because we're splitting hairs here on backup. I think we're all in the
Sure.
agreement. If Ronnie Stanley's not there, they're not going to be good enough. I mean, they're barely good enough as it is. They had 12 points in the third quarter. I mean, like when they need to run the ball, they can't right now in the way that all of us envisioned it being. And some of that might be scheme. Some of that might be not wanting to run Lamar, or Lamar's hamstring, or Derrick Henry, or whatever. But Ronnie Stanley is the straw that stirs the drink to some degree, above and beyond Lamar and all that. In the same way that when Kyle Hamilton's right on defense and they can line him up, you got bigger concerns. You know what I mean? Less bad things will happen to your defense because of the disruption that will happen there. I think the Ronnie Stanley thing's important, really, really important. And it's important that he be protected and loved and cherished and healthy and
Well,
effective.
and it's been good to see him be healthy coming out of the bye week. I mean, he's played all but what the final series against Miami, which they just took him out at that point in time. They were up. They wanted to keep him out of harm's way, but he played every snap on Sunday. To sit here and say that this is anything about Carson Vinson, I think this is way more damning for Note Boom, who first game when he filled in for Stanley was fine, I suppose. After that was bad, like not good enough. So the fact that he's now a healthy
Gonna get my
scratch
$50 million quarterback killed, right? Literally,
and
right?
Vincent is the swing tackle, I'm sure I will buy. And look, we don't get to watch practice to any meaningful extent in the regular season to see if Vincent is suddenly making these big strides. I would look, I'm not going to sit here and say he hasn't gotten better. I assume he has. But I think that's way more about Note Boom. And yeah, it's not even for me that Ronnie Stanley needs to play peak Ronnie Stanley football. Just be available and be effective. And if you have that, then your offensive line you feel a lot better about, other than your guards, right? But if Stanley's not upright and healthy, and now you're talking about, I don't know if it would be Vincent going to left tackle, or maybe it would be a situation where Rosengarten would go to the left side and Vincent would play right tackle, right? I mean, I don't know. None of these are good. These are not things that anyone listening the day after the game feel good about hearing, right? This isn't doom and gloom, but when they make a change like that on their inactive list, it at least, raised my eyebrow for 5 minutes as I just pondered that. But it speaks to, you don't have Patrick McCary as, I mean, McCary was never a great option at left tackle. Let's be clear. Let's be realistic about what he was, but a higher floor option filling in for Ronnie Stanley than Note Boom has looked, or Alejandro Villanueva a couple years ago, right? So yeah, I mean, that's why it's so important for the Ravens to keep Stanley healthy. That's why it has been encouraging out of the bye to see him healthy and not have to leave a game. I mean, what he had. Three straight games where he either left with an injury early or left early on or was inactive going into the bye week. So that was not an encouraging trend. And yeah, you figured the bye week would help. And okay, we're a couple games into that. So far, so good. But you still have 2 more months to go to get to January. And that's still such a big part of this. As much as we talk about the pass rush or the offensive line play collectively, or red zone or short yardage situations or defensive tackle, or it's simplistic because it applies for any team. But when you're 4-5, and that feels so much better than 1-5, obviously, you still are a team that's not operating with a ton of margin for error. As ugly as Buffalo's loss was on Sunday to Miami, and as much as that market's going to be reeling talking about that game, the Bills are still 6-3, right? That was still only their third loss. If the Ravens, for example, whether we're talking about laying an egg in Cleveland, which I don't think is going to happen, but hey, it's happened in the past. You need to be ready for it. But they've got to stay healthy, right? They are so healthy right now. They have had a completely clean injury report. They did not even have anyone listed on their injury report until Ronnie Stanley had a vet day and Marlon Humphrey was added with, he's got a finger issue, which, we're gonna have to see how that plays out here, at least for the short term. But they didn't even have anyone listed. Like, they're literally a blank injury report this past Wednesday and Thursday. In my 15 years covering the Ravens, I certainly can't remember back-to-back weeks where they didn't have a single player even listed questionable. Like, That's wild, right? I mean, that's really, really good health on the it, looking at the backdrop of what they were early in the season,
Yeah,
right? And
did you hear
obviously,
we went 1-5 being unhealthy, right? Like
yeah. Well,
literally.
and that wasn't the only issue, but it was a major issue, right? Just like we talked about it with the Orioles for 6 months, that no, injuries didn't solely explain why they were in last place, but it was a big part of it. There's no doubt about that. You know, injuries are availability is important. You know, no duh. Not having Lamar Jackson or whoever you're talking about on the field means you're going to have lesser players out there replacing them in 95% of examples. So, yeah, it makes a difference. But they just because they're really healthy now doesn't mean that that's guaranteed to continue. So you do need to stay healthy. And yeah, you're going to have some injuries. And yeah, you're going to have probably lose a couple guys to long-term injuries still as the year goes on. So, but same thing holds true in Buffalo. I mean, Ed Oliver's on IR right now. That defense is not the same at all without that guy, right?
And to your point, they didn't make a big push to deal for Quinnen Williams either, right?
Sure, exactly. I mean, they didn't do it, right? I mean, regardless of any teams that whether you made a push or not, did you get it done, right?
Jared.
I forget who it was. I'm trying to think who it was over the weekend that made the comment that they were talking about the trade deadline. It might have been Vrabel, actually. They were talking about the trade deadline as far as like coming close to a deal. He said, coming close to a trade is like saying someone's close to being pregnant. Like you either did it or it doesn't matter, right? You know, you're either pregnant or you're not. So, but you know, it's, yeah, they've got to stay healthy. I mean, that's the O line. I mean, look, there's already so much concern about the guards. Rosengarten hasn't had the kind of sophomore year that anyone would have hoped, right? I mean, he certainly hasn't taken the step that I would have thought, but what does it say about their depth or lack thereof if they haven't even tried some of these other guys? So if you get an injury there, or you get another injury on your defensive line, or you have Roquan Smith on the shelf again, or to your point, Kyle Hamilton a couple minutes ago, I mean, knowing what kind of force multiplier he is, you know, these are. And obviously begins with the quarterback, right? Any team that has a franchise quarterback, you lose that guy, you're done. I mean, you just are. If it doesn't matter that much, then that guy wasn't that good and you're not that good. So, yeah, I mean, a big part of this, no matter how we try to look at the schedule or, you know, who's playing whom and all of that kind of stuff, you know, how healthy can you stay the rest of the way? And the Ravens are quite healthy coming out of the. You know, now a few games removed from the bye. That's great. That needs to continue. And, you know, they're certainly they have depth at certain spots to endure an injury or two, but they have plenty of positions that they can't afford that. So that's going to be a big part of the narrative. I think that's going to be a big storyline for the rest of the this AFC. I mean, to the point that we keep going back to, who exactly. I'll give you good teams in the AFC, but like, who's truly great? I mean, we thought Buffalo. I don't think Buffalo's great. They're not right now. Kansas City. I'll continue to say I've liked the Chiefs from an eyeball test more so than maybe they've been the last couple of years. But they're 5-4. Like they've lost some close games, which is all they did last year was win one score games. They were like it was uncanny how
Well,
they
this
did it.
is where I, you know, by the way, Luke Jones is here, Baltimore Luke. You could follow him out, knowing most. By the way, any breaking news, anything weird happens injury-wise, Orioles make a trade, you'll get it first in the WNSD tech service. It's all brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. Bill Cole came out and hung out with us for an hour on Friday with Todd Schuller. It was a great conversation about AI and youth sports. Bill's a youth coach at Maryvale. So all of that's in there. I just want to say this to you on that side of looking at the field and looking at all of these other teams and saying how good they're going to be and where they are, the part that I look at and say, can they make the playoffs a couple weeks ago? Yes. Can they right the ship, get Lamar back? Yes. All these things we've been, can they win 2 games in 4 days? Can they win 3 in a row on the road? Can they round in? All of these questions we would have. I look at all at the field and say about the field, like you said, where's the super team here? There's no saying that the Ravens won't be the team that's 8-2 the rest of the way or 9-1. And here's the other thing. A sixth loss for them, it's inevitable. I think they'll lose another game here at some point to someone. You just hope it's not the Browns or the Jets or the Bengals anytime at home anytime soon, the next couple of weeks, you'd see this as the winnable part of this, but they'll lose a sixth game at some point. They got to play New England. They got to play the Packers. They got to play Steelers twice in their own division. You're worried about Cleveland this week. But the bigger picture to me is they're not walking onto any field or getting off of any bus or any plane in any weather in Indianapolis where it would be inside, in Denver where it could be god awful, in LA in Southern California with his brother where it would be in a blimp in sunshine in January, that I look at this team and say, what are the three games in a row you're going to need to win in January? Well, if you win the division, you're home for the first one. So let's start there. So then you got Buffalo or Kansas City or some. And not all of these teams can make the playoffs, right? If Indianapolis, Denver, and New England are in, who's not in? Better make sure it's not you. You better make sure you handle your business against the Steelers. But there's none of these places that I look at and say, that's the big bad wolf of Patrick Mahomes at Arrowhead, Josh Allen at Buffalo. What, Drake May in New England? I don't see Tom Brady coming out on the field. Belichick's not coming out in the hoodie. And they have no history with it. There's nobody that's going to walk in that stadium that was there, had anything. I mean, Lamar was in middle school when Billy Cundiff was missing kicks. So there's no association to any of that for any of those places that would be unsacred on the third week of January to think that, oh, boo-hoo, the Ravens only went 10-7. We got to play them this week, and they're healthy. And they're coming to town to play a playoff game against Bo Nix. Okay. I'll take it. Dude, sign me up. Sign me up. The Ravens will be a 4.5-point favorite in those games on the road. If they're a 10 or 11 win, 10 win team,
We'll
not
see.
11. 11's a lot.
I think I just
I'm being pie in the sky, and I
I
wanted
just
this
think that
one to
I
be the
think this is
negative segment, but
I
it's turning into the positive segment because this is how I feel. I feel like on paper, any week they get off the bus, they can beat anybody,
on
and
paper
they're
the
going to have a
Ravens are
chance to
four
do
and
that.
five, Nestor. I mean, like I hear your general point, and I'm not even saying I completely disagree with it or anything like that, but what are these teams going to be by the end of the year? I mean, you keep talking about Denver. Have you seen Denver's defense? I mean,
Yes.
are the Ravens going to handle their defensive front?
Probably not.
I mean, that's just kind of my point. And I'm not saying they won't, but my bigger point here is, I mean, just let this thing breathe for a while, right? I mean, the Ravens have oxygen now. They're at the point now, just win, right? Just keep getting better. They're not even at a point where they need the scoreboard. I mean, they're one game behind Pittsburgh, right? They don't even need the scoreboard watch
And
at
they
this
don't need
point.
style points
Just
beating Cleveland and the Jets. They don't.
just win. Just win. But yeah, as the rest of this thing develops, and let's be clear, even if Buffalo is a wild card, even if Kansas City is a wild card, if they're coming into Baltimore, I mean, let me be clear, I'm not saying game over or anything like that, but you know, everyone needs to remember 2 years ago when Kansas City was completely written off and we saw what they did coming into Baltimore. The
Well,
point is,
Kansas City's pathway would be not win the division, go into the playoffs, go and win in Indianapolis, and you wind up seeing them instead, here, maybe, if you're a division winner and those teams get knocked out. I mean, I know I'm playing January math here, but that really is, dude, they make the playoffs and they lose the first week at home. We're back to square one. That better not happen. You
well,
know, I mean,
I guess
in the grand scheme of what they're trying to do here, which is not get to the AFC Championship game and lose it. The expectations are still winning the Super Bowl here, dude, even at 4-5. And that's where I'm going at it, because that's the way they talk about it out in Owings Mills when I'm out there with
got a lot of
John,
work to do until I start believing that they're going to win three straight games in January. Let's just put it that
Well, they got
way.
to win three straight games in a row here
Right,
this week,
sure,
right?
and that's
And
kind of
they're
and that's kind
nine and
of
a half point favorite, by the way, this week.
that.
That's it.
That sounds
That's right.
about right, right? Although 9.5, because I think I saw 8.5
I'm
Sunday
going to tell
night.
well, it's 9.5
Yeah,
on my line right
sure.
now, and
Fair
that's
enough. I
probably
mean,
I'll take it. I'll sign up. Ravens will win by 10 in Cleveland. I'm in on that already. I'll go
I
early
mean,
in a week with that.
they should. They should. But,
I think this is the point where they start to play better, and this is where Harbaugh's pedigree and where these veteran guys and even the young guys like Kyle Hamilton that feels more like a veteran start to talk that scar tissue and start to talk the same talk you and I are talking. We're game out of first place, we're right where we need to be, and we're fine. And it won't matter if we're 10-7 and going to Indianapolis or Denver or wherever we have to go. It won't be Buffalo or
I mean,
Kansas
if they're
City at
thinking
this
about
point.
the playoffs, then they're not fine. If they're thinking about any of that stuff, they're not fine. They need to be thinking about Cleveland, and that's it. I mean, because to Hamilton's point, 4-5. You know, I mean, I'm not crowning them just because they beat the Bears, the Dolphins, and the Vikings. I'm not. But do I feel way better about where this football team is? Yeah, of course. Of course, they're healthier. They've got number 8 at quarterback. That I
Damn
mean,
you
that right.
chastising me for being too positive
Well, I
about
mean,
them.
I
Okay,
just.
go ahead.
Well, I
I'm
mean, if we're
telling you what I
talking,
really think. I mean,
but I
that's
guess
it.
if we're talking in these terms, then you know, we'll just hit repeat every week then, right? I mean, they've got to get there, right? I mean, they still have work to do, and they still have some major flaws that you still look at that December schedule where you have division road games, you've got New England coming into town who is looking much more formidable, whether you buy them as the number one or number two team in the AFC. They're in that space right now. And they've got a to your point, a head coach who has some moxie and some credibility, even coming into Baltimore and beating a Ravens team in January, let alone mid-December. But they go to Green Bay, they go to Pittsburgh to close the season. I mean, this is why I've said this stretch, this current stretch that they're on, was always going to be the stretch where they really needed to get on a roll because, you know, that doesn't, you know, you look at that December and I'm not gonna the Ravens, if they beat Cincinnati on Thanksgiving, regardless of what they're right, let's assume that they win these next few and they're at that point they'd be what, 7-5. Coming out of Thanksgiving, right? Thanksgiving weekend, as they eat Thanksgiving leftovers.
And in first place at that point, in my
Yeah,
opinion,
no,
but
yeah. Oh, I would wholeheartedly agree with that. But
well, that's a nice Black Friday meal there to wake up on
you
Black
still.
Friday and be in first place at 7-5. Yeah, I mean, then you're talking about home playoff. That's what we're talking about. Am I
No,
allowed to talk about it then, or no?
I mean, my point is, then you need to look at December. Home against Pittsburgh, at Cincinnati, home against New England. That's not a layup. And then you have two road games to close. I mean, that December slash early January schedule to close the regular season, that is not, you know, that's not what November is. Let's put it that way. So that's why, yes, it is so important for this team to be where they are now. And presumably, if they take care of business these next few weeks to get back over 500 because. You know, you don't want to be in a position where you have to win five of those games, right? I mean, they drop two of those five games. They go 3-2. I mean, right off the bat, we're talking about at best they're 10-7. So, you know, and now I will say this, as unimpressive as Pittsburgh has looked for the last month, I don't know. 9-8 might win the division,
Yeah, winning
but.
the division's all that matters to me. I don't care what their record is. I mean, I really don't. I mean, they just got to win the division. That's the
I mean,
most.
I just want to see a team that continues to make improvements. And they have made improvements. Their defense is playing much better than it did a month ago, even with my concerns about the pass rush. Offensively, you know, they still have work to do. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Their red zone, their short yardage, running the football, you know, in more game neutral situations, their first down efficiency. You know, these are all things that they need to get better with. I mean, there's no question. I mean, they're as positive as the victory was on Sunday, and it was. And I want to make clear, like, you know, as I'm speaking here, I'm not trying to be gloom and doom. I'm trying to be realistic about where they are. Are they better than where they were when they were 1-5? Of course. Do I think they're on the verge of being the juggernaut that they were, you know, looking at it at times last year, or certainly 2 years ago, or go back to 2019, even though it was a different structure to that team. No, I don't think they're at that level because, you know, they're not blowing teams out. I mean, maybe they'll blow out the Browns on Sunday, but, you know, they've got work to do. They have weaknesses, but that's a reminder that everyone in the AFC has something that you're saying a yeah, but, you know, the NFC right now, which, you know, it doesn't matter for the Ravens until, you know, if they do make a magic carpet ride to to the Super Bowl. I look at the NFC. I see some teams that look like some significant heavyweights, or the potential to be really significant heavyweights. I think the Rams have looked really good. I think Seattle. Oh my goodness! I mean,
Yeah, that thing's rounding together, and that thing
looking
didn't look
really
good in
good.
September either, right?
So, but we do this all the time. Like, and when I say we, I'm me. I do this as much as anyone. We do this thing where just because a team's really good in September, oh, what does that mean for January? Just because a team's really bad in October, oh, what does that mean for January, right? We're still a couple weeks out from Thanksgiving, and the Ravens are in a way better spot. There's no question about that. But, in terms of trying to project this thing out, and okay, yeah. If you ask me now, do I think they're going to win the division? Yeah. Do I like where they are as a football team right now in terms of their chances of making a deep January run? No, I don't right now. And that's because of the deficiencies that they have. But the good news is they have 2 months to continue to work on those. And there's 2 months to continue to see what the rest of the conference is going to look like, and which teams will get better, which teams will get worse, which teams will have a slew of injuries, which teams will be really healthy, right? I mean, it really is a week-to-week league. And Sunday was just such a reminder with that Buffalo game, which was just so, like, not, they didn't just lose. They lost by 3 scores, right? I mean, they lost by 17
And Pittsburgh,
points.
same thing, dude. I mean, Pittsburgh's two of the next two of the most important games left on your calendar, and if they're diminished, good for you. If Aaron Rodgers is old by the time he gets here, that is a major benefit as to who's left on their calendar. And
Sure.
to your point, New England and Green Bay in that period of time, this needs to be a much better football team than it was in Minnesota in order to win those games. And whether
You would
they need to
think.
win them or not, whether they need to get to 9 wins, 10 wins, 11 wins, they need to win the division. They're not going to be a wild card team. They need to win the division. And Pittsburgh's the one in the way, and that's the one that was illuminating to me on Sunday night.
I mean, no question. I mean, that Pittsburgh team for a month now, I mean, they, and I get it, they beat Indy. Bravo. They beat Indy. You beat them by 7 points and you got six turnovers. I mean, like that right there alone is just kind of like, whoa, what? You turn the ball over six times, or you turn a team over 6 times, you should probably win by more than 7 points, but I digress. But long way to go. It's let me be clear. I'd much rather have this conversation than had the Ravens lost two of these last three, which no Lamar against the Bears going to Minnesota. That was plausible. It wasn't necessarily what I would have predicted, but that was plausible, that scenario. And if that were the case, be talking about a team that's 2-7 right now. You know what we'd be looking at? Draft scenarios and where this team might finish with a draft pick. I mean, so you'll gladly take this, even with some of their deficiencies, even with some questions, even with an acknowledgement of, okay, it hasn't been the toughest schedule of the last few weeks. They also had arguably the most difficult schedule in the league over the first 4 or 5 weeks. So, this is the other side of that, and they're healthier and they're feeling better about themselves, and they just need to keep getting better. I mean, it really is that simple. And if they keep winning games as they are, it'll all take care of itself. Whatever their seed is going to be, they'll find themselves in that space, and then we'll continue to assess that as we get closer and closer to January, as all these teams ultimately seek their level.
He's Luke Jones. I am Nestor. We together are Baltimore Positive at WNST AM 1570. Appreciate you listening out on the radio dial. We're doing a lot of cool stuff around here. Been doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. I have Raven Scratchoff's Lucky Batch. Did you see the video of the lady winning $20 at Coco's? She came up behind me and Greg Abel, and she won. She thought she had won, and handed it to me, and I used my scanner, and she won $20. And then her girlfriend gave me another one, and she won $5. So I felt like Oprah over at Coco's last week. So we were at Coco's last week. We were at Pizza John's on Friday. Luke is still swallowing some of that pizza along with his brother and family that I sent him home with. Get over to Pizza John's, celebrate with them. All of our sponsors have been fantastic with us for many, many, many years. I want to give them love, and come on out and visit us when I give these away. We're going to be doing some new places through the holidays, and going back to some old friends as well. Dan Rogers and I trying to put something together over at Gertrude's at the Museum of Art. So a lot of things happening. Holidays are up. Ravens are back very much in the thick of things this week. We're going to talk some Cleveland football as well. We've talked AI this week. I got some political stuff in. I had some marketing stuff in. We've done a whole bunch of cool stuff. The Y has the turkey trot coming up on Thanksgiving, too. So we have a lot of things going on in the community. You can always send me an email, ness@baltimorepositive.com. And Luke is a very available individual, luke@wnst.net. I am Nestor. He is Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore Positive.